is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, KenaiSoul.net. You're tuned in to the Kenai Conversation. I'm your host, Sabine Pooks. If you've even thought about buying or selling property this spring, you know that it's a seller's market. In some places, properties are selling well above asking price and people are actually paying in cash. It's all a bit topsy-turvy. Here to talk with us today about how things look here and how to navigate the market is real estate agent Marty Pepper. She's been selling real estate for 23 years on the peninsula and works with Readout Keller Williams Realty in Soldotna. Hi, Marty. Thanks for being here.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. And if you're listening and you have any questions later in the hour, you can give us a call at 283-8414. Again, that's 283-8414, and we'll repeat that number later on. You can also send us an email with your questions at spoux@kdll.org. So before we kind of jump into talking about the market and everything that's going on right now, Marty, tell us a little bit about your experience. How did you get into real estate and how did you come to the peninsula?
Okay, so I'll give you the shortened version. In 1993, I moved here with my family, my three children and my husband. We moved here to be closer to my mom. And we, at the time, we were living right outside of Chicago. And we had moved around quite a bit. And so we came to Alaska. I'd been here before as a child. I lived here for a while with my family. And when I came here, I was a pool person. I did whatever I had to do to just be able to spend time with my kids, but make a little extra money to fill in the gaps. So I was working at Skyview High School. I was teaching swimming lessons during the school day, and then I was coaching youth swimming and water polo and teaching water aerobics. So, and I did that for about 3 years. That was a pretty fun job, but it was very time consuming. I worked from about 7 to 5 or 5:30 every day. So there were people in my water aerobics class that were real estate agents. There were three of them that came on a regular basis and they all worked together and they were so happy and they seemed like they just loved spending time together and had so much fun. And I would just look at them and think, they just seem to be enjoying what they do so much. And then one of them was a broker and he said, you know, you should think about getting into real estate. So, that's why I got into real estate, because they just seemed so fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so now that you've been in that world for a while, are they fun? What's the secret? Why is everyone so happy?
Yeah, so that is kind of a joke. Like, it was like, yeah, they never did tell me the hard part. They just made it look fun. So, and it is a lot of fun, but there's a lot of stuff that's a little stressful. But yeah, so.
Gotcha.
And so, they have all retired.
Oh, interesting.
Those three people are all retired and down south somewhere. One of them's still here, but he's retired.
So how did you start your career once you decided that was something you wanted to do?
So one of my goals for getting into real estate, and I know that a lot of new agents, they especially, you know, the secondary parent, which could be mom or dad these days, they just want to have more time with their kids. So they think, okay, I can do this maybe part-time. So I was hoping that I would be able to have more time for my family. And I got into it, and really, to be successful in real estate, you need to work full-time. So I learned that. But I did build my business slowly, so that I could at least pick the times that I worked and still be there for my kids, because the other job I had, I would miss their functions. I was coaching other kids and seeing them, you know, do fun things, but my kids' things I were missing, was missing. So
how did you kind of figure out a balance, and did you have kind of any mentors back then when you were first getting into it?
I did. I had several mentors, and you know, you have to set boundaries. But the one thing about real estate is when your phone rings, you have to answer it, especially nowadays. Even so, you know, 20 plus years ago, we didn't have the same technology we do now. And so your customer base, those 30 to 40 year olds is a big percentage of it. When they call, they want an answer. And if you don't answer the phone, they'll just hang up and call someone else. So.
Wow. So I imagine that can be a little bit stressful to feel like you kind of always have to be on your phone. Like, I imagine people call you when they're done with work, right? So people call you on the weekends, people call you at night. I mean, how do you set boundaries?
So that is a struggle for any one in this business that's successful. And it is something that we actually have training on, how to have a life, you know, how to enjoy your life and have a successful real estate business. So getting help is important, and I've just hired an assistant. She's been with me about a month and a half, and she's awesome. So that's helpful. So you have someone else that can take those calls for you. And then it's just sometimes you don't get the call. It's got to be okay.
And I imagine kind of that's all changed too, as people have, you have your whole cell phone in your pocket and you can answer them on a whole slew of different mediums and kind of platforms. That I imagine that's only gotten more intense probably with time, right?
It's gotten more intense, but it's pretty cool. At first I resisted some of the new stuff. Like, I resisted texting for a little while, but texting's so awesome because I can answer a text really quick.
Right.
You know, and then I've let them know I've heard them and I'll, you know, get their answers. And also having that phone, some people will say to me, oh my gosh, I couldn't stand to be tied to my phone. I say, well, I'm either tied to my phone or a desk. And I can answer my phone in Seldovia. So
you can be more mobile.
That's right. So
wow. So when you started, did you start with a company? Tell me a little bit about that.
So I started with Freedom Realty. And at that time, Freedom Realty was probably the biggest office on the peninsula. And it's locally owned, just, you know, broker owned. And then Century 21, oh, I don't want to try to say how long it's been, but a while back, Century 21 bought Freedom Realty. So now it's a franchise, and they have it's not broker owned anymore. The owners are in Anchorage.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about how things have kind of changed in the real estate world here. Can you talk a little bit about how kind of the landscape of real estate businesses on the peninsula is different from what it was, you know, 20 plus years ago?
Yeah. So when I first started, the only franchise that was down here was Remax. And the rest were all just independently owned. And now there's Remax, of course, is still here and they're strong. And Century 21, they've got a good reputation and that's a strong company. Jack White is, Century 21 and Remax are nationwide, of course. Jack White is an Alaska company, but they're pretty strong as well. And then now Keller Williams, which is a nationwide company, which is huge, is down here. So that's a big difference. And there's still a couple locally owned companies, but
What is kind of the difference on the ground working with a company that's smaller and more locally owned versus a nationwide company? I imagine there's pros and cons both probably.
Yeah, so I'm fortunate because I think the hardest thing if you were working for a national brand would be not having that local, it's not really a boss because we're independent, but local leader. Yeah. So local, we still have the owners, the Debbie and Dale Bagley owned Readout Realty, started it and owned it, and they're the ones that sold it to Keller Williams, and they're still running it here. So not a lot of change there in the leadership. We just have access to more benefits.
That's great.
So we kind of lucked out. We've got the best of both worlds.
That's great. So why don't we talk a little bit about kind of what's going on right now in the real estate world? But first of all, I mean, have you kind of ever seen another time when the real estate market has done what it's doing right now? Like, does this sort of, do these phenomenons that we mentioned briefly before ring any sort of bells for you in terms of things that you've seen in the past?
So we do have times where houses are selling quicker and easier. I can remember, I think it was probably, if I had to guess, I think we're like 2014, 2015. We had some, you know, where if we listed it, it seemed like it would sell. Just list it, it'll sell. Now, I've never seen what it's doing now. I've never seen a real seller's market. When buyers will ask you that, is it a seller's market or a buyer's market? And on the peninsula, we were pretty level. It was like, not really either. We've got such a variety of areas and listings, and we didn't really have a distinct sellers and buyers market until now. And so this is totally different for me. And the multiple offers, the short times on the market, and tensions are high. Tensions are high with buyers and sellers and agents and lenders and, you know, the appraisers, the handymen that are doing the work, the inspectors, everybody's tensions are a little high.
Hmm. So what is going on right now? Can you kind of walk us through what it looked like, you know? So when COVID was kind of first going on, this was not what was going on. So what changed? At what point did this start materializing to this strange seller's market?
So I'm going to tell you how it happened for me. It is going to take us as an industry until the dust settles a little bit to really look at the big picture and say, here is what happened, because we're still in the midst of it. But I can tell you really easily how it worked for me. So what we started really hearing about COVID, what, in February, March, and, you know, we had a brand new grandbaby. That's supposed to be our slow time. I'm starting to figure out what I'm going to do in the spring to build my business. You know, it's a relaxing time. And COVID hit, and people were freaking out on all, you know, not just real estate. Everybody was like, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? How's this going to affect my business? Mm-hmm. And that's right where I was. I went into like survival mode. I was reaching out to people in the industry that I thought might know how to handle this. And some things that were being said was, because we're independent contractors, agents, we have to pay all of our own bills, all our own advertising, and we don't get paid until we sell a house. So if the world stops, how are we going to pay our bills? And we have big bills. If you're successful, you have big real estate bills. Mm-hmm. So I attended a Zoom, one of my first Zoom
the early Zoom things. Days.
Yeah. And it was a bunch of industry leaders that were discussing how to navigate what was happening in our world.
And in Alaska
there was people from the lower 48. It was a lot of Alaskans, mm-hmm. but there were some guests from the lower 48 in the areas where it was hitting really hard. Mm. And none of us knew what was going to happen at this time. And, you know, this is when they were telling us to wash our groceries when we got them home, you know.
I remember those days.
Yeah, it was scary.
And we were like, should we wear masks in the store or gloves?
Gloves, yeah. Well, should we wear gloves? And then they were, yeah, it was crazy.
Yes.
So I, the term that stuck with me was one of those industry leaders said, you need to make a COVID budget for your business. Hmm. You need to cut everything that's not essential. And, you know, they were laying out things to do for survival. So I moved my office home. Hmm. I looked at what I could, you know, cut out for my expenses, and I got ready to just, I stocked my freezer, I stocked my pantry, and I prepared myself to not have any business. And then we got slammed. And I was like, why? Why are we being slammed? And it did not stop. Wow. So by April, I was like heart palpitating moments.
Of 2020. Whoa.
So,
That's quick.
Yeah. So it was crazy. And I think at that time we thought, well, everybody just wants to get out of the highly populated areas. So it stuck through the year. Mm-hmm. 2020 was my biggest year ever.
Wow.
In November of this year will be 23 years. So in 22 years, 2020 was my biggest year by like 40%.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That must be so strange, since so many people kind of struggled so much this year, and then so interesting to be part of an industry that did really well, kind of topsy-turvy.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say that all real estate agents experienced that, because everybody reacted differently. Mm. Some people thought, I can't work.
Yeah.
And they stayed home. And, and I had to figure out how to navigate my business, because my business is meeting face-to-face with people, and we were told not to meet face-to-face with people. So I got a pretty good system down of screening things a lot more than I did before we went into a house. And we'll talk about that a little more, too.
Sure. But, well, and I know that you mentioned the lower 48. I know sometimes when we talk about the economy, we look to the lower 48 as a bit of a preview. It's kind of like some foreshadowing of what's to come.
Right.
Was that the case here? Were you watching what was going on in other states?
So we've had things happen in our market before when we could see it happening in the lower 48, and then it happened a little bit here. So we could prepare for it. This is the first time where it felt like it was happening at the same time.
Well, you said it was so quick.
Yeah, it was so
instantaneous,
quick.
Instantaneous almost.
Yeah, and so, yeah, there were, the lower 48 had areas where it was a lot worse than it was for us because they're so much more highly populated. But still, that's the first time I've seen where it was simultaneous. We were experiencing it while they were experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's still what the market's doing. It's still happening in the lower 48, and it's happening here.
Mm. So you mentioned kind of an early hypothesis is that people are moving out of those big population centers. I am from upstate New York, and people were moving out of the city up to upstate New York, and I know that's kind of something that was going on in a lot of places. What seemed to be some of the root causes for why the market turned so quickly and why it is the way that it is now, if we can kind of put our finger on at least some of those?
Yeah, I can do a little bit of it, but as far as who's buying, I do think that some of our recreational sales, those are people in the lower 48, probably in higher populated areas, that are thinking, we need to secure a place somewhere that we feel safe. And I do think there was quite a bit of that. But other than that, I think it really is more what I'm seeing from my clients that are buyers is the interest rates are low, record low. And I apologize, I was going to call in this morning and see what it was, but they've been between 2% and 3%. Mm. And that will take someone that could afford a $150,000 house. They can now afford like closer to a $200,000 house. Mm. So that alone pushed the market. And then sellers are like, I don't want to move in the middle of a pandemic. And most sellers in the beginning didn't think there would be buyers. So they just didn't even plan on listing their homes. And I reached out to quite a few of the sellers that I knew wanted to list this year, because I keep in contact with them, and I'd call them and say, so are you still thinking of listing? Well, I don't think there's going to be any buyers. And I would tell them there are buyers, and mm-hmm. they were amazed. So there was that transition of sellers thinking there's no reason to list, and then it got so crazy. Now they're like, okay, well, if I sell, where do I go?
Yeah.
Because we've got low interest rates, low inventory, and the prices are, on the peninsula, the prices are higher than they probably would have been, but not like drastic. But you are going to get top of the market for your house and maybe a little more.
Gotcha.
And you're not going to have to do everything. You know, sellers are kind of sitting in the driver's seat right now.
So, and who are these buyers? Are they people on the peninsula? Are they people from other parts of Alaska? Where are people coming from in buying houses right now?
So once again, that's one of those questions that is a broader question that when the dust settles, we'll be able to look across the industry on the peninsula and in the state to see where they are. But personally, what I'm experiencing is that they are people that are just moving around in the state. There are people that are coming up here for jobs. There's some second homes from the lower 48, people buying second homes, and then people downsizing, or people that were going to move anyways. You know, they're retiring and they're moving somewhere warmer, and they've already had houses. A lot of Alaskans will buy a house in the lower 48 before they're ready to retire. Those were the people that were sitting really good this year because they already had a place to go. And they're like, well, we were going to sell our house either this year or next year. We might as well sell it this year.
Right, right. And this might be another big picture question, but do you think we're kind of seeing a different situation here than they maybe are in Anchorage or Fairbanks because, more people might be coming here to buy second homes or to kind of escape from a more urban setting? Is that a factor, you think?
Well, I think that's what drives our market. But those other areas like Fairbanks is such a, they've always had a good market.
Mm.
they aren't part of most of Fairbanks is not part of our multiple listing, statewide multiple listing. So they're kind of rebels up there. And I've dabbled in their market a little bit because I have family up there now. And their market is very alive right now. So they're experiencing the same thing as us. We just don't have easy access to their stats. But talking to the agents up there, they list a house that sells. Mm. And they've got a lot of military up there. So there's always lots of in and out in Fairbanks.
So I guess a good kind of way to put in perspective what things look like right now would be maybe to talk about what a process might look like for selling a house in a normal, and I'm putting this in air quotes because what even is normal anymore, in a normal time versus kind of right now. So maybe what is the time-wise and price-wise, the differences that you are seeing kind of on the ground, on that material level?
Yeah, and I have to address that often with my sellers. So a lot of what happens in this business is you don't just meet somebody, list their house, sell it, and move on to another client. People call me and say, we're thinking of selling in 5 years, or we're thinking of selling in 3 years. And I start coaching them on how to prepare for that. And so I've got several clients that were in that situation that this was the year. And so when I go initially out to meet with a seller to talk to them about selling, I give them a lot of advice on how to prepare their house, what is going to pay off, what isn't. I advise them on the process, how long it might take. And then I give them a price range, and I call that a bubble. So I give them a low range and a high range. And what decides where you're going to list in that bubble is the condition of your home, the area, and what the market's doing. So right now, I'm telling them you're going to list at the high end of that bubble, if not a little bit more, but you really still need to stay close to that bubble. And yes, you need to make your house look as good as you can, but maybe you don't have to work quite as hard.
Right, right.
You know, because you don't have
any sleep over that.
Yeah. So, of course, I want my sellers to make their houses beautiful and super easy to sell. That makes my life easier. But it's usually I'll give them a list of houses that have sold, and that's where we pick our price. And then I give them a list of houses that are active, that are their competition. Mm. That list of active that are their competition is short right now.
Mm. So I know that you sell property around the peninsula, at least around the central peninsula. Are you seeing kind of differences in the way the market is going in different parts of the peninsula, or is it pretty uniform?
So the best way to answer that question is every market, whatever market you are in, is better right now. Hmm. So if you have a house in an area that's just not close to anything, it's not very convenient, it's not in the best condition, you know, those houses always sell at the right price. Right now, those difficult to sell homes because of location or condition, those are going to be a little less difficult to sell. The houses that have always been in that, you know, we've got more buyers in this 3-bedroom, 2-bath, you know, in our price range, that's good. Those are going to sell even faster than they did before.
So
if that answers your question.
It does. That's really interesting. And, you know, something we also had kind of talked about or alluded to before is the whole people kind of paying with cash situation. Is that something that you're seeing a lot of?
So not a lot, but more.
Okay.
And I'm not 100% sure what's causing that, but I think that the people are nervous about the world situation. Hmm. And so people with money, you know, they invest in, you know, their stocks and bonds, and then they have their cash pile, and then they have real estate. And you will see when the markets change, for whatever reasons, people will shift their money from investing in the stock market or real estate. You'll see them shifting things. So it's my opinion that some people are moving some of those funds, a little more of them, into real estate. But that, once again, that's another one when the dust settles, we'll be able to look and see what really was happening.
Sure. Are you seeing a lot of kind of young people or young families? I know kind of something that other generations always lament about millennials, for example, is, oh, they're not buying property. Are you seeing kind of more people in that age group turning to real estate at this time?
I am. And I think it goes right back down to it's so affordable. I mean, they can, in some cases, they can buy for cheaper than they can rent.
Yeah. So when we're talking about these kind of people, you know, being able to list their houses higher than they normally would, kind of, do you have a sense of how much over what would be a asking price otherwise kind of people are listing their homes for, and or how much people are paying over asking price at this time?
So that really varies, and it depends a lot on the price of the home. So if you kind of look at it like this, we've got your first time home buyers, always been a good market. And I think it's the hardest for them right now, because a lot of times a first time home buyer doesn't have a lot of cash, so they might ask a seller to pay for their closing costs. Well, right now, to be competitive, you're going to have to go up there at market value, which means that's the appraisal value as well. And then if you're going to try to put your closing costs on top of that, and you're putting the minimum down because you're a first time home buyer and you don't have a lot of cash, you're going to have a hard time, because your house has to, for your lending, the appraisal has to be met for the purchase price, or you have to pay the difference. So that market is tough, and that's the one where we're getting a lot of multiple offers, and it's hard on first-time home buyers.
I was going to ask kind of where all of this leaves either first-time home buyers or folks in a lower income bracket. Where does that kind of leave them in this whole picture?
So if they have the money to put down and the money to pay their closing costs, even though the prices are higher, that interest rate affects their payments so drastically. So they are still going to be able to get into a house that they can afford if they can stick away a little cash. And I don't know if this is a good time for me to tell you what my advice to buyers is. And
let's sprinkle some advice in right now.
We'll sprinkle a little bit of advice. Is if you are thinking of buying in this market, which is not bad, it's a seller's market, which means those sellers are going to do well. But because the interest rates are so low, that helps the buyers. So if you're going to buy, you need to talk to your lender, and you need to make sure you know what you're qualified for so that you can make a competitive offer short notice, because you're not going to have a lot of time to do that after the fact. And then save your money. I mean, I have three adult children. Two of them own. One of them doesn't. And I'm telling him, save your money. Because if something comes up that you want to do, you're going to need to have that cash.
When can we, and this is obviously, we don't have a crystal ball in front of us, but when do we think we can kind of expect this market to change? Is it going to change?
So there are two different mindsets on that. There is one mindset that we're hearing that it's going to continue and prices are going to continue to go up. That mindset makes me nervous, because if it just keeps going up, I'm afraid it'll price the average buyer out of the market.
Yeah.
Which you've seen in some of the really popular areas in the lower 48. You know, you've seen where you can't even live in this town unless you are of a certain income level. The other one is that the interest rates will go up, and then things will start settling down. And that could be within, I think they're going to hold through 2021, and then 2022 will be the year to watch, I think.